welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. There are some things people attempt to do that are absolutely futile and useless. Some things simply cannot be done. It's even senseless to think that they can be done. And one such thing is to be successful in an attempt to mock God. And even to succeed in that effort means certain disaster anyway. It is an impossibility. Yet it is hard for so many of us to learn this. Some of us have to learn things the hard way, don't we? Tragically, some of us may not learn this truth until it is too late to make any correction or do anything about our foolishness in the attempt to mock God. Through the ages, people have tried to mock God. And to mock God means to ridicule Him, to treat Him with scorn, to deride Him and His will. It is the picture of one tossing his head and turning up his nose with disregard, contempt, sneers, and defiance of God. Some might think that nobody would ever attempt nor dare to do such a thing, but friend, just look around you at the masses of people who care nothing for God, who detest His church, they ridicule His word, they violate His commands, who ignore anything and everything that God has revealed. It is not an overstatement to say that most of the world attempts to mock God. Our text teaches that God will not permit one to be successful in such a thing. Our limited study will focus attention on three ways that people have and still do attempt to mock God. And let us be sure that we do not try it. Men mock God by mocking His authority over them. How people do detest having it said that they have a duty to God. They prefer to do their own thing and go their own way without divine rebuke. In Numbers chapter 16, we read of a rebellion led by Korah. Some 250 others joined with him in that rebellion. Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and Korah and company decided they had suffered enough under the God-appointed leadership of Moses, and they decided to rebel and take over. The Bible says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Why, this was a direct challenge to the authority of Moses. But did they succeed? Why, no, inasmuch as Moses was God's leader. A challenge against Moses was tantamount to a challenge against the authority of God. God commanded that all the people separate themselves from Korah and company, and He caused the earth to open up and swallow all of them, thus ending the rebellion. Nobody can defy God's authority and expect to succeed in it. Eventually His failure will come. To mock authority is rebellion. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Witchcraft was a sin punishable by death under the law of Moses. It was to claim magical powers. It was to claim the ability to work the supernatural when God had given no such power. It was deceitful trickery based upon superstition. Rebellion is classified alongside witchcraft as abominable before God. It is to rebel against God's authority to not only teach that which differs from His will, but also to accept that which is contrary to it. We have a responsibility regarding what we teach, and what we endorse, and what we accept, and to what we bid God speed, 2 John in verse 9. And we are warned against false teachers, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. We are warned against following men, Mark 7, 7 through 9. And when people follow creeds and disciplines and manuals and catechisms, councils and conferences, schools and papers, scholars and theologians, where men have devised their own doctrines, we're guilty of rebelling against the authority of God. Dear listening friend, Christ is our authority, Matthew 28 and verse 18. To have any other, or to place some other alongside him, such as the Koran, or the Book of Mormon, or any of the creeds of denominationalism, that is to mock God. Whether one sets himself or someone else as his authority, whether he follows some philosophy or theology of men, unless it is taught in God's Word, is God's Word, he is guilty of mocking God by rebelling against God's duly identified and appointed authority. Men mock God by mocking his warnings. God does not make idle threats. As surely as God will keep his promises, just as surely we can be confident he will keep his warnings and threats. God's warnings are not attempted to be simply intimidations, but are manifestations of his love and his grace toward us, designed to warn us and to prevent us from living the role of a fool and going the way to an everlasting hell. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ignored his warning that in the day they ate of the forbidden tree, they would die. They died spiritually. They separated themselves from God when they ignored his warning. Did they succeed in their attempted mockery by setting aside his warning? Indeed not. But rather by them sin entered the world, and they were driven from the garden, and certain curses were placed against them, some of which hover over mankind to this day. God would not be mocked. The people who lived before the flood of Noah, they were warned by the preaching of Noah, but they gave no heed. They failed in their attempt to ignore and sneer at the warning of God. And what of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? Were they not warned? Was not Lot and his family warned? They paid little to no attention, but failures in their effort to set God's warnings aside, as if they were nothing, were simply failures on their part, and it led to spiritual ruin. But what of us today? People are warned of the coming judgment. Paul said, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "And it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment." Hebrews 9:27. But who pays attention to that? We are warned of the lake of fire and brimstone in Revelation 21 and verse 8. We are told that the way of the ungodly shall perish, Psalm 1 and verse 6. But still many run the pathway of wickedness. Peter said, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. But does this stop men from their sins? Only a few give much credence to God's warnings as if they matter. They think and they act as such will never be. They laugh and joke about such things as sin and the judgment and the devil and hell. But the word of God being true, mockery of this sort shall not be allowed to reign. Hebrews chapter 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Well, the point is, we shall not escape. Men also attempt to mock God by mocking his commands. But was not this the same mistake King Saul made when God told him to go down and utterly destroy the wicked Amalekite nation? Saul could have obeyed, but he decided it was better to listen to his people, to save Agag, to save the best animals, and he obviously allowed many people to escape because we read of the Amalekite nation again. Saul said that he did what the people wanted. Now to me, that sounds like a lot of preachers today. He did what the people wanted. And in spite of his disobedience, he arrogantly contended that he was obedient. Did he succeed? Why, no. His kingdom was taken from him, and he lost the cherished fellowship with God and with Samuel, and became the object of God's righteous wrath. Samuel told him, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." But many of us today persist in going our own way to please ourselves or some other, rather than following the prescribed revelation of God. People will worship whatever way they want. They do whatever makes them feel good, whether it's authorized or not. They practice what they deem to be popular. And many churches do whatever they think will get the crowds without due regard for the Scripture. Paul wrote, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Galatians 1 and verse 10. But you see, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. When we do what we want, and whatever it is that we like, and ignore God, and what he has taught in the Bible, we're trying to mock God. Shall we be any more successful than those who have failed before us? Oh, we might cry loudly that we love God, but such is just an insincere lip service, dear people. It is hypocrisy if we do not have as our prime intent to obey his commands. Even baptized people ignore so much that God has said, such as the faithfulness to worship, the doing of good, forsaking the evils of this world. Shall we somehow be the first to overcome God and succeed in mocking him? We think not. And we would advise us all that the effort is senseless and it is damning to the soul. God is not mocked. Now, it may seem for the moment that we may have been getting away with something. But at best, any appearance of mocking God is temporary. In any sense, nobody ever really breaks God's law, but rather they break themselves against it. To mock God is like throwing glasses against a wall of solid granite and expecting the wall to collapse. Only the dish shall be shattered and the wall unmoved. And why should anybody want to mock God, seeing the bountiful blessings he offers us when we honor him? And by obedience to the gospel, in faith and repentance, confession and baptism into Christ, we come to him through Christ. And if we serve him faithfully throughout life, heaven will be our home. And we have God's own word for that. Why attempt to run against him? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.